Ben Fred Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and we have the chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And as always, we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. Blue Tail Medical Group, great alternative to surgery. Find out more at BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. The doctors Wolf, Bays, and Crane will keep you in the game. So if you're thinking about getting surgery, make sure and consult with them before you do. And they have great alternatives prior to surgery to keep you in the game. And again, that is Blue Tail Medical Group. And let's say good morning to Ben Fredrickson, who has done a remarkable job covering the Rams saga, leaving St. Louis, moving back to L.A., what the NFL is doing, what could happen because of this. And there was more news that we're going to talk about, by the way. Gratuitous plug coming up Sunday night at 10:30 on Scoops with Danny Mac, the TV show on Fox 2. But Ben, you've done a great job with this. Good morning. And where does it all go from here?
Yeah, great question. Good morning, Dan. Good to see you in person, too.
You too.
By the way, been too long. But no, this is where does it go from here? I wish I had the answer. I think most likely it goes to court in front of a jury of St. Louisans in January. And I think that's really where this is headed. I know there's a lot of talk about an expansion team potentially. There's a lot of talk about a settlement, what that could look like. I don't want to be the wet blanket guy. I can just tell you that as of now, there's been no substantial talks about a settlement of any kind, whether that's a big money check or a team. There's been a lot of speculation. I think, you know, I wouldn't put it past the NFL to be floating some things, trial balloons, but I'll just tell you, I don't trust much on the NFL side. I think for good reason. We haven't heard anything about a settlement from the St. Louis side of things. So right now it's about jury selection. It's about getting the financial documents from these owners who were on the LA committee handed over so the lawyers, the St. Louis lawyers, can build their case for punitive damages. They've fought that kicking and screaming to the point that this week there were some sanctions handed down to try to compel them to hand over those documents. There's some legal infighting, some lawyers being lawyers leading up to this. But right now this heads toward a January trial that really puts on display just how many times the NFL violated its own relocation guidelines in its determined effort to move the Rams. And there's some damning evidence there. We've seen and heard some of it come out in these hearings leading up to the trial. And we're finally seeing now a couple things. One would be the coverage nationally that has been missing this whole time. We're finally seeing some folks show up at these hearings or write about them that were basically ignoring this story before because it's getting very real. And we're also finally seeing some, you know, conversations about maybe the NFL has realized that St. Louis kind of has a tiger by its tail here. And maybe they're starting to be some discussion internally in the league about how did this get so far? What are these lawyers we're paying all this money to? How do they not derail this thing by now? And do we really want some of these secrets to come out in trial? I don't think the league cares about its image very much, but I do think it cares about, you know, a verdict that will basically change how it has to do relocation in the future. But because up to this point, it's pretty much been able to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, and this could change that.
I think it was Mike Florio who speculated about, well, you know, you look at what happened with Cleveland, then in 99, they get the expansion team, they keep the Browns name, and everybody went on their merry way. And the speculation by him was, well, maybe to appease this lawsuit is to give, in the future, St. Louis an expansion franchise. Let's just, for argument's sake, say that that would happen. I've said multiple times, I don't know what the appetite is anymore in St. Louis after the last two times that we've seen a team here. Me personally, I'd love to see it. I love football, but I don't like the NFL. I think what they've done is been awful to this region and this city. However, if they said, yeah, we're going to build the stadium and it'll be ironclad that they can't leave, then okay, you've got my attention. But then where's the corporate support? And do those people want to support that were in bed with these guys before and doing business with them? Do you want to be in business with these people anymore? I'm not so sure.
I think it's a fair question. And there are a lot of questions that would have to be answered before that idea can even be realistically discussed. You named a couple of them. Who owns the team? Is it going to be some out-of-town owner who's looking to move the first chance he gets? Where do they play? What stadium? Where do they practice? And you're totally right, is, you know, what's the appetite like, both in the business community and from fans? I mean, I know there, I have zero doubt that if the NFL came and said, hey, we're sorry, we screwed up. Here's a local owner who will never leave. And I mean, you could push back on that. Well,
Stan Kroenke.
For how long, right? You know, and you really can't trust a word they say. You know, they change their tune all the time. But in a perfect world scenario, let's just play it out. You know, I have zero doubt that St. Louis could support an NFL team. It has in the past, and it could again. But does it want to? I mean, there's a difference there. Can it versus want to? You know, you look at what the Taylor's family has done, stepped in and said, hey, let's go get soccer. Let's throw down mostly all private money to build this stadium in downtown St. Louis in a league that wants to be here. And I'm not Pollyanna here. I know that Major League Baseball and the NHL and MLS is not like, you know, no big league is perfect. They're all corporate entities. They all have skeletons in their closet to some degree. But they all don't have John Gruden's and Ray Rice hidden tape of him beating his wife in the elevator and blackballed Colin Kaepernick, and then Jerry Jones goes out and kneels at midfield. I mean, the NFL is gross. And the more we're away from it, the more we see that. And I do think there are some people who would say, you know what, I'm out. And now I don't want to speak for every fan. I know there are a lot of sports fans who are screaming now saying, why aren't you rallying for an NFL team? You know, be a sports advocate. And I get that. It's hard for me to see behind the curtain as much as we have here and then go, yeah, welcome them back. I think you have to kind of take the approach of someone who's learned. You know, you don't go back to a relationship that's toxic and expect it to be different again. And maybe it would be for a period of time, but I don't know that it would be in the long term. My advice would be get the money and go find good ways to use it. And I know people scoff at that notion, right? I'm not they're going to be a cheerleader for how city entities always and county entities always spend their money, but it could be so much money that you'd have a hard time not doing some good with it. So that's my personal stance. If an NFL team came, I'd cover it, I'd write about it, and it would be in a lot of ways good for business, but I would feel a little slimy doing it. And I think the people who actually be making that decision, I mean, it's not going to be me or you or anybody else. It's going to be the city leader, the city leaders, the county leaders. It's going to be the mayor. It's going to be the folks who sign off. And I do think there would be some hesitation there versus saying, hey, let's go get the money.
What do you think is going on right now in the offices and privately with Stan Kroenke, Kevin Demoff, Roger Goodell, Jerry Jones, some of the others that have been named prominently in this lawsuit? What do you think's happening right now as we speak here in mid-late October?
I think Kevin Demoff's probably mostly worried about what emails of his are caught up in that Washington football investigation. He's pretty tight with Bruce Allen there, and they go back to their days in Tampa. So he probably wonders what emails of his are sitting.
Well, you bring up a great point. Do you think any of that stuff would come out in this, or has that already been done?
I think the league, if it has something against somebody it wants to get rid of, in that quote, I use quote unquote air quotes investigation, because it's really not an investigation if they never tell you what they found. They're just going to sit on that evidence as long as they can, and if there's somebody they want to railroad, like John Gruden, who clearly is a caveman in the comments that he made, they're going to let it out when they want to. So if they decide that Demoff needs to go for you know, some of the stupid things he said and did during this relocation process and the gloating that took place afterwards, nothing would surprise me if they find a way to kind of push out some of the people that really fouled this thing up, and he would be one of them. The amount of infighting that could happen here, Dan, is really interesting, I think, and I think it could be another reason that this idea of like a settlement is hard to get to. We still don't know exactly who's on the hook for what here. You know, we know there are five owners, the members of the expansion, the Los Angeles committee, that are going to be, you know, really teed up for punitive damages, and that's why they're having to hand over this financial information. There's reportedly a indemnification agreement that Stan Kroenke signed, but there's confusion, I think, a little bit on what that actually means. We haven't seen a document of this. We've heard he's on the hook for all of the fees. Is he actually on the hook for everything, or is he on the hook for the legal fees? There's a big difference there if we're talking about billions of dollars. So there could be real friction between the parties here who decide what comes out of this on the NFL side of who pays what, who gets to decide then, who has the most say. There could be some real trouble for those power circles. And none of them like to lose. None of them like to part with their money in ways that they don't choose to. We're seeing that play out in just the fight against, you know, the St. Louis for the financial documents. I mean, John Mara, owner of the Giants, has said that he doesn't know his net worth, And that's what he's telling them. I mean, you have to know your net worth. You know, it's part of your tax process. He's refusing to hand things over. They're now having to pay fines. They're having to pay legal fees before they have to hand this over. And if they don't by late November, then they're going to be hit with even more penalties. And then they're going to face punitives that are so big that they won't be able to say those are too big because they didn't participate in the process to determine what they were worth. So there could be some real infighting there. I think the league has gone from thinking this is a joke. I mean, Brian McCarthy, I think one of the earliest comments when the case was filed just came out and said, there's nothing to this. This is just a scorned lover, basically. And no one's saying that now. I mean, I think they're worried. I think they're mad that these lawyers they're paying a lot of money to are not getting the job done. I think there's a building kind of friction there. And there was also other owners have to be looking ahead going, we're supposed to play the Super Bowl this year at SoFi Stadium. At the same time, this trial is going to be taking place in St. Louis. There have to be owners who care about that narrative and don't like the look of it.
It's a terrible look. What do you think happens? If you just on a personal level, you've been covering this, you've been in the courtroom. What do you think happens?
Well, I think we've got the playbook. This is headed toward trial in January. The NFL side is going to delay, distort, distract as much as it can along the way. And then if they win a big verdict, and I think they probably a very good chance of that, then there will be an immediate appeal, and they'll try to claw back what they can of that. Now, how successful they are in that, I don't know that that's going to be a layup like some assume it will be. I've heard a lot of speculation about, well, they'll get a big sum, and then they'll turn around and win an appeal. I don't know that that's such an easy case. This is not some big federal case. This is a Missouri case. And I don't know that it's just going to be given that they're going to be all of a sudden vindicated on an appeal. But they will fight everything to the very end. I mean, that's Kroenke's playbook. That's the league's playbook. They got a lot of money. They got a lot of lawyers, and they're going to use them. But it's worth pointing out that every time they've tried to stall this thing, every time they've tried to steer it toward an off-ramp, they've failed for the most part. So that's, you know, I think you just keep plodding along. I know it's not as sexy as promising an expansion team. You never say never. You know, crazy things happen, and we're not in the prediction business of legal cases normally, but I do think this heads toward a trial, and I think that it's going to be must-see TV when it gets there.
We are on the eve of the blue season. Excited to see what happens this year?
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's really the time for the Blues to get back to that level of play that they were playing at before the pandemic hit, right? I mean, they were cruising. They had won a cup. They were defending their cup. And we, you know, what ifs and maybes and who knows, but it sure seems like they were on a good clip to maybe try to repeat as champs. We just haven't seen that kind of team, that kind of play since the pandemic. Now's the time to get back to doing it. Now they got different guys. They've added some fresh guys. They've got some young guys who are impressive. Berube's on this prove it year, you know, 1 year left on his deal. I'd love to see them, you know, play to get him an extension. And I want to see those two continuing to mix. But the Berube style has to prove that it can get back to that cup level, that it can thrive in this new era, right? You know, the Blues, I think, since the pandemic, it have been kind of caught, Dan. They've been trying to be they haven't been as heavy and gruff and tough as the big teams. They haven't been as fast and speedy as the fast teams.
In the middle.
And they're kind of lost in the middle. They don't want that. You can't be lost in the middle. You got to find your identity. You got to play to it. I'm fascinated by the Tarasenko situation. I'm stunned he's back. I really did think they would move him. Maybe they still do. But if he's going to come out and play motivated and play to stick it to all the critics like me, then that's awesome. And take what you can get. And if you move him later, that's fine. But a motivated, healthy Tarasenko could be a big difference for this team.
I still go back to Binnington being the guy that we saw in the cup run. And even before the pandemic hit, before they went to the bubble, he was a top third goalie in the league. And I still believe it rests on his shoulders, too. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
I mean, when he's locked in, they're different.
Yeah.
But he's got to have a defense that can help in front of him, right?
That's right. You're only as good as the people in front of you.
Parayko being healthy should help. I mean, the Blues clearly think that back thing is going to be a short-term blip. They gave him the contract extension despite it. You kind of look at that and go, oh, man, how's he going to hold up? But if they're right and he's going to power through, then he should make a big difference there. And some of the guys they've added are more two-way kind of heavy players that could help in that way. But you're right. I mean, when he's locked in, they're a different team. He should have a more capable, I think, less porous defense in front of him. So hopefully we'll get the best of Jordan Binnington.
Mizzou, Texas A&M. Texas A&M coming off beating the number one team in the country, and now Mizzou gets them an early start in Columbia tomorrow. Texas A&M might roll up 900 yards. I mean, who knows?
The only hope for Mizzou is that the Aggies spent all week partying Johnny Manziel style after beating Alabama and that 11 a.m. wake-up call comes really early, it'll be a different atmosphere for the Aggies going from beating Alabama at home after a very disappointing season up to that point to then turning around playing a road game at 11 a.m. in Columbia where, you know, half the folks are still out tailgating those who decided to come. So they're going to have to bring their own energy. Hopefully Mizzou can turn that into an advantage. You know, I don't think Missouri will win. I do think that the big question will be, how does this defense look now? They're not playing North Texas. We saw some positive signs in that North Texas game. In the second half, not so much. There were some subs in. The game got too close. But in the first half, some new starters. I think a better, more engaged defensive line. You got to build on that. The offense also has to start doing its best job to keep the defense off the field. Control the ball. They don't turn it over. They should be able to build some drives. Bazelak needs to play well. I think if you're Eli Drinkwitz, you have to kind of start managing games now around what you know is your strength. It's your offense, and trying to minimize the damage your defense can do to your team. And we'll see if they can pull a moment out. I mean, A&M got its moment beating Alabama. Can Mizzou get some sort of moment like that this season? They're not going to have the season they wanted, but maybe they can jump up and give something positive for fans to rally around.
I don't know if you've thought about this, but the NLCS is going to feature the Braves, which has the All-Star game taken away from them this year. Then you look at the American League, and you got Boston, who was involved. You certainly have Houston because of the cheating stuff in the past. Alex Cora is in the championship series. This might be like Rob Manfred's worst nightmare to see this thing happen. It really could be.
Rob was hoping everybody forgot about the All-Star game relocation. I hate to tip my cap to the Astros, and
Straight NLCS.
I'll be happy for ALCS. Can I just be happy for Dusty? Like, I like Dusty.
Me too.
He didn't have anything to do with the cheating. And look, they're not stealing signs now, and if they are, and if they can find out a way to do it with all the attention being paid to them now, then I guess they're pretty good at it. They got good players, and they have really responded to this all this adversity thrown their way. So I'll give them that. I am most impressed by the Braves. Their season could have been kaput when Acuna got hurt.
The stuff, Soroka,
you know, the stuff with
Marcell Ozuna.
The stuff with Ozuna was certainly of his own making, but the team could have folded. And they went out. They basically replaced their whole outfield. They had a bad division. They said, let's go for it. And now it's worth it. Those guys are fun to watch. Freddie Freeman is fun to watch, and guy who rises to the occasion. So I'm very impressed by the Braves, and wouldn't mind to see them go for it. I really hope that it's not the Astros. I'm not ready for that mentally. I just can't handle that yet.
You ready for an off season though? I just want to see a CBA in place and have a normal off season.
Yeah, man. Hey, if it takes up spring training and we get a short spring training, all good. Like, everybody thinks spring training is too long anyway, right? Don't mangle the season. Get things so you start the season on time. Don't shoot yourself in the foot with an off season of labor fighting and billionaires versus millionaires. Here's what you got to do. Get the young guys paid more, raise the rookie minimum, decrease a little bit the path to free agency, maybe decrease the path of arbitration. And the owners have to agree that if they're not going to pay the old guys as much as they used to, and they're not, and the old guys don't deserve as much as they used to get based off what we know in the post-steroid era, allegedly, then give more to the young guys.
And a floor. There's got to be a floor.
Your revenue can't grow as much as it has without the salaries growing. You just got to bite the bullet and do it. The players have to be smart about, hey, if we're going to give this up, if we're going to take this, we got to give a little. If they got to expand the postseason, whatever, get rid of the one game wild card. Don't water down the postseason too much. Don't water down the divisions. Those have to matter. And, you know, figure out the DH and figure out that stuff. That should be easy. But hopefully, if they both come into it knowing where it has to end, then they'll be able to get it figured out. Where does it have to end? Starting the season on time. Don't mess up the regular season because of this. Get it sorted out and then have whatever spring training you need to have. But don't mangle the season. This is going to be the real, true first, I don't want to say post-COVID because I know we're still dealing with it, but it's going to feel like the first true post-COVID season. Baseball starting it late, starting it shortened would be a real, real bad step for the league. It needs more attention. It needs more eyeballs. It needs more success, not less.
What are you working on this weekend for the Post?
I'll be at Mizzou for the A&M game on Saturday. We've got full coverage of the Cardinals offseason already underway and the Blues taking off. For folks who haven't got a chance to check out the Blues season preview section. We rolled out a full package of stories. It might have kind of gone under the radar because the Cardinals were in the playoffs at the time, but they can find it at stltoday.com and get caught up for all the things they need to know headed into the Blues season.
That's Ben Fredrickson. Great to see you in person, my man.
You're the best, man. Talk to you soon.
That's Ben. And as always, on these Fridays, brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group.